Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com, a Pacers blog on the SB Nation blog network. And we are coming to you after the Pacers took care of the New Orleans Pelicans, 113-96, on Tuesday night. Make sure you check out the game recap write-up by my man Mathan over at Indy Cornrows. He does a great job delivering an even-handed recap of games, so make sure that's on your post-game stop after every Pacers game. As for the game, we were able to, it wasn't televised locally by either team, but through the miracle of the internet, we were able to watch via a closed circuit video feed, and along with Mark Boyle's radio call. And what we saw was pretty impressive, and I'm sure Nate McMillan was pretty happy with what he saw. I don't know how happy he's going to want to say he was after game one of preseason, obviously. A lot of work to do, still trying to lay that hammer down with this new team. But for a team that wants to improve their pace and get out and run and play hard defense, he hit all those marks on Tuesday in New Orleans. I mean, the team shot 104 field goals. They only turned the ball over 11 times, and you know, scored 113 points. I think their offensive efficiency was around 106 points per 100 possessions. So that's a great start, to say the least. So let's take a look at some of the numbers in the box score and share some observations from what we saw as a quick recap of the game. The Pacers had, let's see, seven players in double figures. They kind of spread the wealth. You know, Paul George played 24 minutes. Seemed like he was playing in about third gear most of the game, although he had a few matchups with Lance Stephenson, and the two were going at it, as you might imagine. But PG struggled to get a shot to fall early in the game before getting to the line, and then made a couple of three-pointers, but finished with 11 points and seven rebounds. Nice little outing to get going. Thaddeus Young had the only double-double for the Pacers. He had 12 points and 10 rebounds, which is pretty nice, and you know, he played just over 18 minutes, and it was nice to see him in action. I mean, I've seen Thaddeus Young play before. I have to admit, I haven't seen a ton of Sixers and Nets games over the past few years, so usually watching him has been I've only seen him when he's played the Pacers, but he was really active out there and did a lot of different things. Was able to rebound, hit some shots. He even made his only three-pointer, I'm telling you. It's looking a little like he could morph into Sam Perkins in the latter stages of his career, but he's not quite there yet. But it was nice to see him out there. He even led the break one time in transition, as you know, the Pacers are trying to push the ball. He had the ball, he pushed it, and got it to Kevin Seraphin. But you know, that young Seraphin fast break isn't quite ready to roll yet. They weren't able to complete it, but he did finish with 12 points and 10 rebounds. Jeff Teague had 10 points and 4 assists, and better yet, 0 turnovers. Did I mention turnovers? You know, the Pacers only had 11 turnovers in a preseason game. That's pretty nice. And we're only gave up 6 points on those turnovers. So, again, 11 turnovers, and they shot 104 field goals. That's has me still shaking my head. I actually had to look up on Basketball Reference last season. They only shot more than 100 field goals 3 times. And 2 of those were in overtime games, and 1 was against the Warriors. Shocker. So, and they never reached 104 field goals. So they're pushing the pace. So that had to make at least Larry Bird smile. I don't know about Nate McMillan, if he's all the way in on it, but the Pacers were definitely looking to attack. And you could tell a lot of times when they, especially on a stop or a rebound, getting the ball going the other way and just not settling to pull up with the ball, but instead continuing to attack and attack, never letting the defense really set up and trying to get something in transition. Now, I mean, they didn't shoot great throughout the night. They made 11 of 34 threes. Yes, they shot 34 threes. Again, that's a big number. So they left a lot of meat on the bone as far as their shooting, but they were out getting shots up, and that's, at this point, what McMillan has been preaching. So another newcomer, Al Jefferson, only played a little over 17 minutes, but was able to get that one-hander going. That thing is beautiful, and it seems like he has range on the little one-hander out of the post from 12 to 15 feet. But he put in 14 points. Joe Young got extended minutes because of Aaron Brooks sitting out with a little hip injury. So Joe ran the second unit. He also ran late in the game some garbage time minutes. But he was attacking as well. He finished with 12 points, and he did have 4 fouls. But, again, he only had 1 turnover and was handling the ball when he was out there. Rodney Stuckey got things going in the fourth quarter, made a few key shots to put the Pacers back up in front for good, really. Finished with 11 points. And then George Yang also finished with 12 points and 8 rebounds. He didn't look great out there. He wasn't real comfortable, especially in his first stint and even his second stint. Missed a few threes by simply seemed like he was just rushing a shot. After the game on the radio, he mentioned that he really felt the speed of the game early and had to settle in. But he did get a couple backdoor baskets, settled in a little bit, was able to contribute. But he's got a ways to go before he settles into being ready to play at that NBA level and adjusting to the speed and being ready to make his plays when the opportunity calls up. That ball comes, you got to be ready to shoot it. And a few times it felt like he knew he should be able to shoot it, but his body and mind and everything didn't quite catch up with him, and he was rushing the shot a little bit. But he definitely got some good minutes out there. Played 19 minutes. So maybe if there was a disappointing player out there as far as on the reserve unit, Glenn Robinson III. Of course, this is the odd thing about plus minus. He had the highest plus minus, but it didn't feel like he was out there a lot. He was running up and down. He didn't really play that much either. He only played about 13 minutes, but he didn't really feel his presence. He did, however, have a key play at the end of the half. Pacers got loose ball out of bounds with 24 seconds left, so they called timeout and set something up for the final play of the half. And one of the few plays they set up, they were running so much and really in the half court just playing pick and roll and not really running any elaborate sets. So that helped keep the pace going. But on this set, you know, Teague set things up, and eventually the ball made its way to Robinson in the corner, and he was able to deliver by nailing the three with a little over a second left. So that was a nice way to close the half out. You know, all in all, the Pacers look real good for their first outing. Of course, you know, you're facing a New Orleans team that's a little shorthanded. And, you know, we had Solomon Hill, who played about 20 minutes and ended up fouling. He had about four fouls and dealing with Paul George a lot of that time. Not a lot of fun, but he didn't score in New Orleans' first preseason game, but he did finish with 6 points and three rebounds. Etuan Moore struggled from three land after hitting one early. He missed a few open shots, but finished with 9 points. And Lance Stephenson did make his presence felt, unlike Glenn Robinson III. When Lance is on the floor, you know it. He finished with 4 points, 3 assists, and 4 rebounds in about 20 minutes. So he was decent. He didn't do anything major. The most impressive player for New Orleans was rookie Buddy Hield, or as Mark Boyle referred to him as Shavano. Mark is not a fan of using a nickname for grown man pros, so he was calling Buddy by his real name. But he was able to get his shot up quite a bit and finished with 18 points. So pretty good outing for the rookie there. A couple other notes, I guess. Excuse me. A couple other, I guess, plays that stood out, aside from Robinson hitting that three. And then, you know, Ming had a couple of great backdoors where he was able to get loose and for easy layups. Teague fouled him a couple times, and that, you know, kind of shows that basketball IQ shining through, where you know he's struggling a little bit, wanting to make an impact, trying to find a way to contribute. And, you know, nothing better than the old losing your man on the back door to free yourself up. So it was good to see him continue to battle while, you know, he was probably struggling a little bit trying to keep up. Jeff Teague, also on the offensive end, there was one play in particular that stood out. Ball got batted around and knocked back into the backcourt, and Teague retrieved it, and there were two Pelicans there, basically double-teaming him. And instead of, you know, panicking with the ball or firing it, looking for somebody to take it from him, he just set his dribble up, set those players up, got by them both, and then was able to hit a little runner in the lane, which, because he had broke down the defense, freed himself up for a shot, since and obviously if the defense had come to him, he would have been able to get somebody else open. But the ease with which he handled that situation with the ball was really nice to see. He didn't start firing it around the building just because he had a double team on him. So great to have a guy in control with the ball doing those point guard things. And that's what we saw from Teague. I will say that, you know, individually on defense, there were a lot of little glaring blow-bys or issues with Teague, even Al Jefferson, a few other guys. But overall, the effort and the team coming together to play, you know, I think Fab Young was real active and strong. Actually, LaVoy Allen was pretty strong at also off the bench. Did a good job getting rebounds, because, you know, LaVoy will get it, as Larry Bird says. So that part of the game is definitely a work in progress, and maybe the Pelicans were a great first matchup. So they didn't get too discouraged, and you know, their defensive numbers at least look good, even if the even if you can pinpoint a few areas where there were mistakes made. Other than that, you know, Monte Ellis didn't really do a lot. He did hit a three. He seemed to float out there as well. I mentioned Paul George seemed to be playing in about third gear, and I have a feeling Monte was playing about at the similar rate there, as he, you know, didn't have a big impact with the starting unit there. So that's, you know, game one of preseason. What do? We overreact and glom on to all the good things that happen, like, you know, Al Jefferson's one-hander and Joe Young looking good in a backup role, taking care of the opportunity. But it is one game of six preseason games, and there's a long way to go. But as far as the Pacers are concerned, and Nate McMillan trying to establish a kind of a new culture, with a little more discipline and accountability, along with trying to play a little more free and with a faster pace on offense, this was a perfect start to the season. 113 points, 104 shots, only 11 turnovers. That's a great start for the Pacers. And so they'll return home, practice on Wednesday, and then host the new-look Chicago Bulls on Thursday at the Fieldhouse, which should be fun. And that game will also be televised. Pacers television crew will be handling that game, and we'll be looking forward to breaking that one down on Thursday. Until then, you've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.